You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Recently, there's been a spike in reported violence in schools across the Motu. In March, the Education Review Office's Education Evaluation Head, Ruth Shinoda, discussed a report into the findings with RNZ, saying that New Zealand ranks amongst the worst for disruptive behaviour in classrooms, with this year's only increasing in the past few years. In 2022, 29% of the total number of students stood down in schools were due to physical assaults on other students, with 3% being stood down for physical assaults on staff members. 95BFM News Director Joel spoke to Professional Teaching Fellow in the Faculty of Education and Social Work at the University of Auckland, Brian Marsh, about this rise in violence and how these rising statistics stem from students being in isolation during the COVID-19 lockdowns.
With reports of a rise in violence in schools, there are beliefs that this rise stems from students being forced to isolate during lockdowns from the COVID-19 pandemic. How do you believe these lockdowns have impacted, causing an increase in violence?
Well, I think they've had a considerable impact, and I think the sociological and educational research will be looking at this for quite a while to come. I think there's kind of two parts to that, really. The lockdowns removed young people from their immediate peer group. I don't only mean their close friends, but other people who they might have been in class with, and put them in isolation and put them in a situation where they didn't really particularly have to negotiate or collaborate or do any of those kind of things that you would normally have to do in the classroom. They were largely by themselves, perhaps with siblings, perhaps with family, but they could kind of focus on their own needs during the lockdown and not use the complex set of social skills that we all bring to bear when we're in a large group. So there's that part of it. But there's also the part where we kind of broke the magic bubble around school. For a very long time now, school has been what young people do from the age of 5 to 15 or the later teens. People go to school, and suddenly we rather than making that a definite positive proposition, you must go to school, school is the answer, suddenly we're saying don't go to school, you may not go to school, we can do education in another way. And so school, rather than becoming this sacrosanct thing where everybody went, suddenly became a maybe, maybe not proposition. And I think that sowed a measure of confusion and doubt in young people's minds about what the purpose of school was and whether they should be there or whether they were going to be there. And those things combined, I think, have brought about a kind of a social situation where school isn't definitely positively the answer. I might go to school sometimes and I might not go to school other times. And also, some of our young people are not as skilled or practiced in the social interactions that we all undertake in those kind of complex, crowded environments. And one of the things that they might do in response to the stresses and strains of a school day is to push back.
And when we refer to violence in this context, what sort of violence are we seeing in schools?
Well, we would have to look at the detail of that. The broad headline is peer-on-peer assaults and perhaps young person-on-teacher assaults, and we don't know what the detail of that might be. But it seems clear that the people who are carrying out these assaults must in some way be more stressed than they normally were. They're responding in a way that's clearly not socially appropriate, but then in a way perhaps that they wouldn't have responded before. So lots of pressures are being brought to bear on the school environment, and kids are responding with in a physical way rather than using their words, as we used to say in play centre.
And have we seen a rise in other forms of disruption in the classrooms since the COVID-19 lockdowns, such as students skipping schools or just being disruptive?
Yes, I think so. There was earlier in the year, I noted there was an OECD report about the general level of behaviour across schools, and I think this is part and parcel of the whole issue. I don't think that our teenagers have suddenly become more violent. They may well have become more stressed, and there might well be more anxiety. I mean, this data is drawn over the last couple of years in New Zealand, And we could look at things like the cost of living crisis. What kind of households are these young people living in? How are their households getting on? I imagine when the pulp mill jobs went missing on the Central Plateau, now Auckland and Rangitā, that suddenly there was a bit more stress in those communities, and young people will respond to that. They know how things are going in their households. They know whether employment is secure or not. And whether their kind of their food chain is secure or not. So there are all sorts of external pressures on young people that might not simply be related to the school day.
The Secondary Principals Association President Vaughan Coryu says that students in years 10 and 11 are the most likely to cause disruptive behaviour. Considering these students would have been in around year 6 and 7 during 2020, do you believe there is any correlation here?
Well, yes, I think so. I mean, those end of primary, the last years of primary, we have intermediate schools in New Zealand or full primary, so years 6, 7, and 8, let's say, are filled with quite a lot of structure and quite a lot, usually in schools, quite a lot of talk about going forward into secondary schools. So some intermediate schools begin to put students into specialist classes. They begin to mix groups in a way that they haven't been mixed before. So there's a lot of kind of habituation that goes on for those students about the upcoming structures and processes of secondary school. When we look at primary schools, often children are used to being with one teacher for the whole day. They're used to being with the same group of students for the whole day. And secondary schools don't do that. They might be with what we call a core group of students for their subjects like English, Math, Social Studies and Science. But they will go into what schools often call option subjects, and they will encounter, they'll be in rearranged, reordered, reorganised groups of students throughout the day. And that, in terms of the sociology of the school, is quite challenging. They're in a primary school environment, they are with the same teacher, they are with the same kids. In a secondary school environment, they're not. They, every 45 or 50 or 55 minutes, they change teacher, they change classroom, and the social structures of the group around them changes as well. And those can be quite demanding circumstances, particularly for the people who aren't secure and secured into the learning, the people who find schools and schooling quite challenging. These are extra tasks that are loaded on top. And that could easily be causing some of the difficulty that Vaughan points to.
In March, the Education Review Office announced the need to combat violent behaviour in school. In a statement, Education Minister Erica Stanford says the government was already planning on addressing two of the recommendations in a report released by the office, which also looked at disruption in the classroom, with a phone ban in schools and looking into how to improve teacher training. Do you believe this report and its recommendations have engaged with how students have been affected due to COVID lockdowns?
Well, it may have done. Phones are a distraction. Phones can bring to people in classrooms news of change and changes in relationships and the social dynamic. I know that some needy kids can be quite nervous about their peer group, about whether they are still in or whether they've suddenly been placed outside of a group, and phones kind of contribute to that, as well as just the physical distraction of looking at the phone or catching up on Snapchat or TikTok or Instagram or whatever. So that may well have been of some use. I work in teacher education, and we talk about managing the behaviour of students in classrooms almost all of the time. My hypothesis is that we manage the behaviour from the moment that we get them into the room, whether we line them up outside and get them calm and quiet, or we bring them into the room and allow them to settle in there. We manage the behaviour of our students all of the time. So it's not as if teacher education programs have been ignoring the behaviour of young people in classrooms. It's very much a central concern of the pre-service teachers that I work with. So I'm not sure what the Minister has in mind about adding in more material about managing behaviour, but we certainly focus on it. We do, as it were, in inverted commas, behaviour management an awful lot of the time.
And what ways would you suggest academic staff and schools mitigate these rising statistics?
Well, as I said earlier, kids aren't worse than they were. They're more stressed than they were, perhaps. The global and local circumstances lead them to feel different kinds of pressures. kids who are comfortable and well supported and cared for and well fed and warm and given challenging and interesting academic tasks to do don't by and large assault one another. So we need to look in a really fine-grained way at how these assaults are coming about. What are the circumstances? Why are they so stressed that they're acting out this way? Because a comfortable, calm, confident person doesn't assault a peer. And they certainly don't assault their teachers. So what is it that's going on, and how can we address that? Well, again, my hypothesis is that we can address it by making sure the students feel secured into their network of relationships. And that might be with teachers, that might be with their peers and their subject classes. It might be through what schools call a form class or a tutor group, that they have a wide range of relationships that makes them feel like a valued member of the community, getting them tied into the school. Now, this is very time-consuming and not at all a band-aid fix. Making sure people, that our students feel that they are part of the school, that the school is invested in them, that the purpose of their coming to school is not to be growled at for their uniform or for their homework or anything like that, but to be supported in their future success. That if we can get kids to understand that and schools to focus on that, I think that will be hugely helpful.
And that was Professional Teaching Fellow in the Faculty of Education and Social Work at the University of Auckland, Brian Marsh, talking to us about the rise of violence in schools and how this rise correlates with students being required to study from home during the COVID-19 lockdowns.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.